Hi, this is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. We're in the School of Acts, and we are in the Gift of Faith module. And I tell you, it's so exciting. Let's just open in a word of prayer, and then let's get into this tremendous study. Heavenly Father, we earnestly desire the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and even more so that we would prophesy according to the command of Scripture. But Lord, we desire the gift of faith, not just for ourselves, but God, for the body of Christ globally. Lord, that your power in operation to deliver, to rescue, and to provide supernaturally, and even, Lord, when it's needed, to translate laborers from one place to another, from a very dangerous situation into peace and safety. Father, we ask for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's pick up with number 13, the gift of faith. Peter supernaturally delivered from prison. Acts 12, verse 7. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. A light shined in the prison. He smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, "Get up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. Note, Peter, thinking he was having a vision, did nothing to make this deliverance happen. The only thing Peter did was to put on his clothes and follow the angel. In the operation of the gift of faith, angels are commonly involved, such as with Daniel in the lion's den or the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. Peter was receiving his deliverance from harm through the operation of power. It was God's power and ability coming down in there, being ministered to through the ministry of this angel. And the Lord uses angels. You know, they are his ministers and they obey his voice, and they are strong. And so, yep, very, very powerful. Now let's go to number 14, to the uttermost parts of the earth. So we're going to see the gift of faith now operating outside of the land of Israel, Eretz Israel. So we're going to find out that God hasn't changed, his power hasn't weakened, and that the same God that was operating in Israel, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, he is no different. So let's go on. Number 14, the gift of faith, Paul and Barnabas, bold to confront, power to turn. Acts 13:46, Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should have been spoken to you, but seeing that you put it from you, judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, today we turn to the Gentiles." Note, as the devil's servants were filled with envy, God's servants received a fresh filling of the power in order to confront them. With this boldness, the gift of God's special faith empowered a complete turning towards Paul's high calling, and that's the Gentiles. Now, Paul, from the very day that he came into Christ, he knew that there was this Gentile calling there. But that doesn't mean that you sell out to it and that you've matured into it that first day. In Paul's life, he had a lot of interaction with the people of his nation, especially these religious leaders. And, you know, yes, he began to go towards the Gentiles, but in his heart, he was still working to try to convince, try to preach to the Jews. But what you see here is the time came where there was a complete turning. It's like an all-out selling out to this call of God. And in order to do that, you see that this gift of faith was coming down and operating and giving him the boldness in order to move that direction. Now, The Bible declares in the book of Matthew, says, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would thrust out laborers into his harvest. And that word to send out is the word to thrust out, or ekbalo. And it's really, it's a very forceful term. And it is a term that really requires the power of God in order to move servants into those fields where they need to minister. And in this, you see a power push of God through that boldness from that comes down from heaven that causes Paul now to completely to go through the gate into the field called the field of the Gentiles. And now he's sold out to this calling. Does it mean that he never witnesses to Jews again? No, he does. He actually does. But it's not the foremost thing in his heart now. His heart is the Gentiles, which later it stirs up a lot of commotion against him in Jerusalem. And so, you know, you can never please the devil and you can never please the religious. They always have a problem. So take time and study that. Number 15, gift of faith. Paul and Barnabas speaking boldly in the Lord. Acts 14, verse 3. And a long time they abode, speaking boldly in the Lord, who gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. The gospel must be spoken with boldness, a boldness that comes from the Spirit of the Lord and not from the flesh. Paul asked the Ephesians to pray for him in order that he would receive this boldness to speak forth the gospel. Ephesians 6, verses 18 to 20. The key in this passage is the phrase, in the Lord. This bold confidence that they were operating under was not a normal boldness that one can stir up within themselves, but rather an operation of the gift of God's special faith that was empowering their speech. When they spoke, faith was released, and signs and wonders followed their words. This truly is a wonderful example of the gift of faith operating. How we need this gift. Number 16, the gift of faith, a door of faith. Acts 14, verse 27. And when they had come, they gathered the church together. They rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Note, every major transition in the book of Acts came through the manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In this passage, the wording once again is crucial to help understand the operations of God in the harvest. In Matthew 9, verse 38, Jesus taught his disciples to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into his harvest. The Greek word for sending in this passage is the word ekbalo, meaning to thrust forth violently. Because of the demonic resistance to the gospel, it takes power, likened to a gust of wind, to insert laborers into their assigned fields. Thus, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came as a violent, mighty wind. To further this point, a door of faith is a door the Lord opens. When the Lord opens a new direction, he will also supply the faith power to move laborers into position, or in this case, to walk through the door with confidence. With this faith door also comes supernatural provision to sustain the natural needs that arise in the spiritual work of the Lord. Therefore, the gift of God's special faith will always be in operation to assist and to protect those who are laboring in those fields. Thus, it is important not to be ignorant of these gifts. They're crucial, and you got to go back and just spend time thinking about it. This is a wonderful picture of how God moves laborers and he equips them. Number 17, the gift of faith, Paul and Barnabas. Acts 15, verse 12. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul. They were declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by then. The phrase, God had wrought, opens the door to all three operations or gifts of power. The gift of faith, gifts of healings, and the working of miracles. Consider other examples in the book of Acts. When the Gentiles believed, the apostles prioritized praying for them to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of other prayer tongues. This baptism with speaking in other tongues is definitely a wonder. Remember, it wasn't only Philip's miracles that captured Simon's attention, but rather the ministration of the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. When Gentiles watched their friends and neighbors begin speaking in new foreign languages, oh my goodness, it truly is a wonder. Also, because the gift of faith energizes the servants of the Lord with boldness and brings supernatural protection, I took the liberty to include the gift of faith in this passage. How exciting it must have been to experience a move of God like this. Equally, how exciting it must have been to be sitting in that congregation listening to Paul tell these stories. You know, the Bible says, just as Adam walked with God before the fall of man, now through the gospel of Christ, we can walk with God in all the earth. Take time and think about that. These apostles, Paul, they were telling their stories of walking with God. Oh, powerful. Number 18, the gift of faith. Paul casts out a devil. Acts 16, verse 18, and this she did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. He came out that same hour. I believe this gift of God's special faith gave Paul boldness at the right moment to deal with the devil in the young lady. This same Holy Spirit confidence also was imparted to preserve Paul through the coming persecution and beating that followed this act of God's deliverance. This special faith must certainly had been in manifestation. And you got to think about it. It's one big operation, casting out of the devil, and then the jail, the earthquake. It all is one big package. And let me tell you, God's special faith was in operation. Number 19, gift of faith. Paul and Silas received supernatural deliverance from jail. And that we're going to go on here, Acts 16:26. Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were open. Everyone's bands were loosed. As Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises, the power of God came down upon the prison. Paul and Silas did nothing. They simply received God's power working on their behalf. If Paul had torn the bars off of the wall, like Samson, it would be classified as the working of miracles. In this passage, Paul and Silas sat back, so to speak, and received God's power working in their situation. We're commanded to desire this gift. Number 20, the gift of faith, Ephesian believers, Acts 19, verse 6. When Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Once again, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is administered through the operation of this gift of God's special faith. Just as the priest, Hebrews 7, verse 1, Melchizedek, blessed Abraham, so Jesus, our high priest, administers the blessing of Abraham as a double blessing into and upon the church. The impartation of blessing or spiritual empowerment is one of the operations of the gift of God's special faith. And you gotta look at something, kind of the bigger picture here, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. This blessing, the blessing of Abraham, upon the Jewish nation, has kept them as a nation and has kept them moving in the direction of God. Go into the church age, the double blessing, the blessing within and the blessing upon. John chapter 1, it says grace filling grace. There has been so many things that would seemingly have caused the church to die in the earth. The church never died out. Why? Because of God's power upon the body of Christ. Oh my goodness, so powerful. Let's go to number 21, the gift of faith, Paul's ministry. Acts 19, verse 20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. The Greek word for mightily has to do with the power of God in demonstration. It was the preaching of the word of God with mighty operations of power that caused the church to increase. Therefore, I took the liberty to list all three gifts of power in demonstration, which would include the gift of God's special faith. That's just a powerful example. Number 22, the gift of faith. Paul raises the dead. Acts 20, verse 10, Paul went down, fell on him, embracing him, said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. Note, the atmosphere in that meeting must have been electric as that great apostle taught into the night, testifying of the power of God that bore witness to the word he preached. Suddenly, people began to stir, causing Paul to realize that something had happened. There outside, laying on the ground, was a dead young man who had fallen out of the top window. Paul, walking in such tangible power, fell upon the boy, and when he did, the gifts of power went into operation, breaking death's hold and restoring the spirit of the lad back into him. Then finally, the gifts of healings restored his body from the damage received from the fall. All three gifts of power would have been in operation in this resurrection. I am sure that Eutychus was very glad that he was in Paul's meeting that night and not some boring preacher, because if that had been the case, it would have been curtains for him. But here we see that wonderful gift of faith. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Most likely, this young man, Eutychus, was already seeing or peeking into heaven. And I'm sure he had something to say when he got back into his body and began to talk. Thank God for the power of God. Oh, my goodness. Number 23, gift of faith, Paul in the storm. Acts 27, verse 23. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Acts 27, 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Now, I'm just throwing a couple of the verses in here you can look at, but read the whole chapter and study it, because you're going to see that in this storm that Paul is in, and it's not by his fault, he was subjugated to it, that God in his mercy released this operation of his faith. Paul, you're going to go to Rome. You're going to stand before Caesar, and God's power is going to ensure it. Now let's read here. Note, just as it had been with Daniel in the lion's den, the angel of the Lord stood with Paul, protecting him. Paul did not calm the storm, but rather, through the operation of this power gift, received protection from it. O death, where is your sting? Now let me pause here. When Jesus was in the storm, he was sleeping. The boat was filling with water, but he had already spoken, we're going to the other side. At that moment, that boat was in the operation of God's special faith. Jesus wasn't doing anything. He was sleeping. The disciples were crying. And God's special faith was moving that very waterlogged boat towards the other side, just like the word of God was spoken. But when they woke Jesus up and cried, then he stood up, and the operation of power changed. Instead of receiving, now Jesus is, he is now enforcing a word. He is releasing. He is doing the miraculous. And he's changing a weather system, and he's calming the sea. Now, that's using the power of God in the working of miracles. So you get to see both in operation. Well, in this story, obviously, Paul is not empowered to stop that storm that was probably in the majority of all of the Mediterranean. No, that wasn't the case. But he was protected in the middle of it, just like those three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. God didn't deliver them out. He protected them while they were in it. And then eventually they came out of it. So wonderful, wonderful example here. Now let's go. This gift of power comes perfect in operation and is often administered by the presence of an angel. Even to the three Hebrew children, as spoken earlier, in the fiery furnace, their deliverance was so perfect that the smell of smoke could not touch them. Remember, they had to be invited to come out of the furnace. We are commanded to desire these gifts. Oh, that's amazing. I love the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The smell of smoke couldn't even touch them. That is an operation of God's power. They didn't do anything. They received it done. And so we've got one more we're going to go over here. But you need to go back and think about what is the gift of faith and see how it's operating. It is a wonderful gift. It's a powerful gift. Now let's go to number 24. The gift of faith. Paul overcomes the snake bite. Acts 28 verse 5. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Note, in this passage, Paul simply received the power of God's faith, preserving him from death. The presence of the angel brought divine protection to Paul in the storm, and so it was here. The special operation of protection around Paul, ensuring his course to Rome, kept the venom of the snake from harming him. Also, it is proper to note that in the Great Commission, the Lord declares that his servants will take up serpents and not be harmed. This is a clear example of what the Lord meant in his commission to the disciples. In conclusion, this is the final operation of the gift of God's special faith in the book of Acts. But by no means is it the final manifestation of it in church history. Earnestly desire this gift. And you know, even as the author of this particular book, I have seen so many times where the presence of God has supernaturally delivered my life while I'm out doing the ministry of the Lord, walking with the cross, evangelizing, where I've seen rocks, bricks thrown in the air, stopped and thrown down, people rushing to try to hurt me. They're stopped. They can't move past a certain distance. And surrounded by thousands of people. And I could go down the list, but you know, it was God's special faith, perfect, mature, manifested. And usually there is the presence of the angel that's right there working. And so, oh, so powerful. Let's pray. And then, Heavenly Father, how can we not pray and ask, Lord, we desire this. We desire it. We desire it. We desire it. Touch my friends right now. Impart into them. I pray that, Lord, they would be empowered for life and godliness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. There's more information there. And until next time, remember, we love you. God bless you. Bye-bye.